Gracious and holy God, may the meditations of my heart and all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you, because God, you truly are our rock and our redeemer, and we praise you and thank you. Amen. Welcome to Epiphany Sunday, and I'm sure some of you wonder, well, what is Epiphany Sunday? Well, it's the Sunday that is nearest to Epiphany Day, which every year is January 6th. And to help you with maybe understanding what that is, maybe during the Christmas season you heard or you sung that song that just seems to go on and on with no end, the 12 days of Christmas. Well, what that is there's 12 days between Christmas Day and Epiphany Day. And the epiphany or the aha moment that happened that we're celebrating is the arrival of the three wise men at the manger. So the moment is truly the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Some will say there were three wise men. Others will say not necessarily true, but we always count on the three comes from the three gifts that were brought to the manger: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those were actually symbolic gifts, as the gold was a reminder that this birth was of royal standing, that this birth was of divine birth. That's what frankincense says to us. And finally, myrrh says to us that this birth, there would be immortality. And each year, it's fun that we, on January 6th at our preschool, we celebrate that with the arrival of the three wise men. And I'm going to say the three wise guys. The reason I would say the three wise guys is on the left is Lloyd, one of our custodians who is very dear to us. In the middle is Scott McDermott, who is our director of youth worship. And on his right is Kevin Andrews, who is also a leader in youth worship. So I say it's three wise guys. The arrival of the wise men at the manger is yet another reminder to us that what God originates, God orchestrates. The wise men followed the star as they followed God's lead because God was originating and he was orchestrating. If you remember on Christmas Day, the reading of Luke 1 and the story of Mary, and as the angel appeared to Mary, and the angel told Mary what God's vision was for her life, and that was to give birth to the Savior of the world. And how did Mary respond? How can this be, since I'm a virgin? To which the angel responded, "Nothing is impossible with God." In other words, what God originates, God orchestrates. Nothing is impossible with God. So when God called the wise men and he called Mary, what he did was he put this call or this passion right into their heart. And then God went to work behind the scene orchestrating, because with God, nothing is impossible. And so all Mary and the wise men needed to do was to be faithful, to respond to what was happening inside of their hearts and to follow that leading. I want you to think back with me for a minute. Can you remember one story in the entire Bible where God gave the responsibility of figuring out a divine vision, how it would be fulfilled to the person that God had given the vision to? Did anyone have to figure out the how? I mean, did Moses have to come up with a plan to let the Israelites cross the Red Sea? I don't think so. Was it David's responsibility to figure out how to get Saul out of the way so that he would become king? No, because God always orchestrates what he originates. God's vision will give to all of our lives meaning, even meaning to the most meaningless, minute details of our life. If it's about joining God's vision, those moments will even become meaningful. Let me give you an example of that. How many of you would be excited to spend all day shoveling wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of gravel in 90-degree weather with humidity that probably pretty much matches that number? How would you be excited? Okay, let me reframe this. How many of you would be excited to spend all day shoveling and moving wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of gravel in an impoverished community in Appalachia, knowing that you were doing this to create a pathway for cars to drive into this undeveloped site, where in this community children have no opportunities for an opportunity to play in organized sports, but that would finally give them the opportunity for that? Would that change the excitement factor of that shoveling of that gravel? And I have to say, because I've experienced it, yes. As Sandy Phillips, another church member here, and I, a number of years ago, were in mission in Henderson together, working with several youth. That is what we did for several days of that week, was that shoveling of that gravel. And I can say that in the minute task, it wasn't meaningful, and it felt like a burden. But because we knew it was a part of God's vision for us to be there serving, made all the difference in the world. Let's take a look today at Nehemiah, who is one of the persons of the Old Testament. He has his own book in the Old Testament named after him. And I want you to know that Nehemiah was a man who understood that God laid a vision on his heart, and then he understood that his responsibility was to respond to that and follow that. So let me tell you a little bit about Nehemiah. Around 587, the Babylonians had invaded Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem, took it over, they destroyed the temple, and many persons were exiled to Babylonia at that time. You may know some of those who were, or heard the names of some of those who were exiled. It was Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nehemiah was a part of that also. And so while they were exiled, Nehemiah would get information back about what was going on in the homeland, and his heart broke for what he heard. And I want to read a little bit to you from chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verses 3 and 4. The survivors there in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. You know, it says Nehemiah sat down and he wept. That wasn't just some casual kind of emotional, kind of emotive kind of moment by any means. Because it says that he did. He wept and he mourned for days and he fasted and he prayed. Because what happened was God had laid this upon his heart. And it was a heavy burden on his heart. And he knew that was just so. And so he was searching to understand what God was trying to say to him. Now, you need to know that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Babylonia. So he wasn't a free man, he was a slave, and here is what his work looked like. Before the king would drink anything, Nehemiah was always to take a sip first. So daily he lived with the possibility that he could die at any kind of moment. But the positive about this experience that we can see God working through this and orchestrating is that that meant that Nehemiah was in the presence of the king each and every day and each and every kind of moment. So the king knew him well. And we understand all this through chapter 1. And then when we look at chapter 2, what we hear described is that Nehemiah was described as a person who was never seen as being sad. So a day came when the king saw much sadness in the face of Nehemiah, and he asked him why. And Nehemiah prayed about what his response would need to be, because by now he had a sense that God was going to call him in some direction for his life. And so then he explained to the king what was laid upon his heart, and he asked if he could go back to Jerusalem and if he could lead the people in rebuilding that wall. And you can read all of that in chapter 2 of Nehemiah. Let me move you to chapter 3, which for me, I'm going to say is our takeaway for today. Chapter 3, and I'd say go home and read chapter 1 and 2. Really a great story, easy to read. Chapter 3 gets a little different. Maybe you've read the Old Testament before, and maybe you've read in Genesis. Maybe you picked up the King James Version. And so there's a chapter in there where it says, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and on and on and on. And when you read that, you think, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through this? And what does this do for me? And what do I understand? Well, chapter 3 is a little bit like that. Because the entire chapter 3 is a list of one name after another, one name after another. A little different in that after the name, it says, it lists something that they did or a way that they were gifted in something that they could do. And so what is important for us here is, yeah, there's a list of names, but I want you to understand the prepositions that happen between every name. So it reads something like, so-and-so did this. And then next to him, so-and-so built this. And then next to him, so-and-so did this. And the entire chapter reads like that. So there's 14 times that persons are listed, and it says, well, next to him, they did this. Next to him, they did this. And that's not even enough to make the point here, because in addition to the next to him are after hims and after them. So the names continue. So-and-so did this. Well, after him, so-and-so did this. And after him, so-and-so did this. 14 times there are next to's, and 16 times there's after him. And what I want us to realize today is those are significant, first of all, the numbers of times it happens, but the words, because what it says to church, to us today, is that to be church, what God calls us to, God has gifted every single one of us, but God calls every one of us to do our part, knowing that then the next person after you will do their part after you, and then the next person after them will do that part. And when we function that way as a church, we are being church as God called us to be. And that's what we see happening here in Nehemiah. We see a community that came together to support the vision of God for those people. Here at Carmel United Methodist Church, our vision was prayerfully developed by the leaders and the staff of this congregation a number of years ago. And we know what we are to be about. We know that our business is about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So each year, our task is to determine how do we fulfill that? How do we do that? And so in other words, I say to all of us, how are you going to be the name that is next to or after him? And that's what how a vision is lived out. In Ephesians 2, Paul said it this way to the church there in Ephesus. He said, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." In other words, God has gifted us, and now God calls us to do the work of God and to follow that vision. If I think about explaining this in the language of children, I probably sing that song, "I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together, all who follow Jesus all around the world." Yes. We're the church together. God's vision is for every single one of us to share a portion of the vision and the fulfilling of this vision. So what I want to look at today is that vision of Carmel United Methodist Church as it stands, and then to look at and into 2017, the call that each of us have in considering how we are a part of fulfilling this vision. We talk about our vision being that we connect with God and others, how we grow through in our faith through biblical learning, and how we serve our local and our world as followers of Jesus Christ. So I want to take it just the three words we often identify: connecting, growing, and serving. And just delving into that a little bit. Our goal for this year overall, as we look at these various aspects, is that we would desire that this congregation would grow at least 5% this year in the way that we are currently living out these goals. So first of all, I want to take a look at the goal of how we serve. How are we doing in the way that we serve? So this year, maybe you're already serving. It may be a way to step up in addition to what you're doing. But I invite you also, if you haven't considered participating in a mission or an outreach, to do so this year, because then you individually are the person, the part that makes the 5% or greater happen. But it all depends on each one of you. So as we talk about our food pantry celebrating 25 years this year of being in operation, in years past, we never really necessarily had to ask for volunteers because we always had enough. We always had a regular crew. But we need to know that the need in the community has increased so much that we have increased the hours so greatly that we are now in need of persons to commit. And maybe you don't know anything about the food pantry or serving, but that may be the way for you to step up this year. It's just a two-hour shift where you come in and you serve and work in the food pantry. And it doesn't matter if you're single, it doesn't matter what age, or if you're retired, or if you have children, there is a place for you to serve in that food pantry. And you can call Natalie Ayler or call the church office. And this year, our youth and children missions are committed to at least two mission experiences for those groups. And maybe you have children, or maybe you have grandchildren who have not yet connected with those groups to participate in that kind of mission experience. And if you would encourage them to do that this year, then you would be a part of that 5% growth that we would desire in how we serve. Next, I take a look at how we would grow our opportunity for growth. And we look at this through biblical learning and as we talk about small groups. And I want to share with you a statement that I think I've said multiple times. Did you know that spending time in small groups and sharing life together has a direct correlation with healthier relationships? Small groups make a difference not only in the life of the church, but in your individual lives as persons. And so when we talk about growth, one of the opportunities is to grow the number of grow groups that we have. And if you're not already participating, I encourage you that that's a place, again, that you can be a part of the growth of this congregation. We talk about biblical learning. Have you picked up the multiple booklets that we publish at Advent or Lent or various seasons, and as an opportunity for you for daily devotional kinds of experience, so you can encounter God in the presence of your own home or wherever you are through that devotion? Or have you downloaded our app, where periodically we send daily push notifications, just appears on your phone, just a quick something, a quick opportunity so that you can connect with God? What we try to do is offer a multiple opportunities for you to begin and to continue your growth in your relationship with Christ. I mentioned in my announcements about the upcoming Financial Peace University, an opportunity, multiple studies that we offer throughout the year. And also, another area for all of us to be growing always is that through biblical teachings, we know that we are often talked to through those teachings about our financial management of our own resources. And continual studying and understanding of that, as we understand that, that reflects the condition of our hearts. Again, it's our understanding of our relationship to our material goods and our finances that is often a place of opportunity for growth in all of us. And finally, I want to talk about the area of connect, and as I want to introduce a new opportunity that we will be launching as a connect kind of opportunity. We have a contemporary worship service that's held here at 11 o'clock at the same time as our 11 o'clock traditional. Last year, and we will be doing this again this year on Easter, we will hold a contemporary service at 9:30 and 11. This year, following that service, we are going to launch an ongoing contemporary service at 9:30 as well as at 11 o'clock. We've been prayerful about this for well over a year or so, and have heard from many persons in this congregation with a request to make that move. So we are going to do that following Easter. And whether it's a 7-week trial or we continue through the summer to the fall, we're going to wait and see what kind of response we have. But we see this as, again, a new opportunity for us to connect in new ways in worship. So those are just kind of a few of the ideas that I throw out there when I talk about we need to grow as a congregation at least 5% in all of these ways. And I need you. You are the driver of those possibilities. So what I'd like to invite you to do today is on the front of your bulletin, it says vision, the graphic that we've used this morning. And underneath there's a great big empty space. I want you to think about these opportunities for growth, for whether it's to serve or to grow in your biblical learning or to connect. I'd like you to think about what is the way, and I know at this day many persons are participating in all kinds of different kind of levels. What is a way that you know, you may think, I've been thinking about that. And I'm going to say to you, if you've been thinking about that, I'm going to tell you that that's something about God working in your heart. So take it that next step. Oh, I know, I've been thinking about that. Oh, I know, I heard that again. What those are what I believe are nudges from God. Take those and put that on this piece of paper. What is it that maybe God is calling you to do in addition for growth this year? Write that down. And if you want to write your name down, that's fine too. But what I want you to do is don't throw away your bulletin today. Don't recycle it. There are baskets by door 3 and by door 6. Please drop those in there, and I will take those bulletins, and I will pray over those this year, and pray to God for guidance and to continue to encourage those who have heard from God that this is the challenge that has been laid upon your heart. You know, vision's never accomplished single-handedly. Nehemiah knew that he couldn't rebuild the wall all by himself, but as he was casting the vision, he was praying that the people would catch the vision along with him. And that's what I'll be doing this year, is praying that all of us will catch this vision. And one thing I do know also, that as we are called to step out in these ways, I know that it calls us to sacrifice and to do things differently. And sometimes things aren't that easy. But here's what I know also about the people of the time of Nehemiah. What they were called to do, what they were called to step out and do, was not easy for them either. They were a part of an agricultural society. And what that says to us is, if they weren't working, they weren't eating. And I'm sure that they were so busy that there were many other things that they could be doing, that it was felt almost impossible to fit one more thing into their schedule. And maybe even putting this kind of work on the wall required that they put some things on hold. And then, to make things even more complicated, many of the persons lived in areas outside of Jerusalem, so they had to travel a great distance even to get to work. And then eventually some of the persons were called to leave their homes where they were living outside of Jerusalem and to move into Jerusalem. And so what I'd like to say to us is, I know that a sacrifice is involved. And I'll tell you, oftentimes when it's about God and it's about a vision, oftentimes it does cause us to rearrange our schedules and causes some inconveniences. That probably is God at work. Nehemiah had to also sacrifice a lot to be the leadership of this work and of this vision, but he knew he couldn't do it. He knew it wouldn't happen unless he had persons that would join him in this mission. So I ask you this year, I ask you to consider, what is the way that you can step up so that we can grow the vision and the mission of Carmel United Methodist Church in these ways in 2017? I hope that you will prayerfully consider that and pay attention to the inconveniences or the surprises. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you because you are God who does call us. And we can know that sometimes your calls are very much of a surprise. But one thing we can know, that what you do orchestrate and you are present. God, thank you for the many, many years in history of this congregation. Thank you that you call us to go forward into 2017. Lay this call upon our hearts individually. In the name of Jesus, amen.